morning. Good to see you this morning. Let's all stand together. I've said that so many times, some of you already know what's coming. So one of these days I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to say, sit down. And you're going to think, what's going on? Let's sing. Come, now's the time to worship. Ready? One, two, three. Let's sing this morning.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are.
Cornerstone. If this happens to be your first time to be with us at Cornerstone, number one, we want you to know we're so glad to see you and that you've chosen to come and worship with us. We want you to feel right at home. If you have any questions at all, turn and ask somebody. We're here for you. We'd love to hear from you. There are cards in the pocket of the chair in front of you. If you'll look down, you'll see some cards. We'd love to hear from you. You can just fill that out, place it in the offering basket on your way out. And we have a special gift for you at our Connection Center if you'd like to stop by as you leave today. But more than anything, we're here for you. We want to help you in any way that we can. Everybody else, if you're a normal member of Cornerstone, hey, I'm glad you're here too. Amen. Just so you know. it's so good. So good to come together and worship. There are a lot of things going on. You need to check that bulletin out. And we'll be highlighting some of those events coming up at the end of the service today. But for now, let's just join in prayer. Hey, God is here. He's here. And I have a message for you this morning. He wants to speak to your heart. And so let's seek His face, okay? Let's sing with joy. Let's approach His throne. And as Brother Lanny is here to preach, let's listen. Listen to the word and allow the Holy Spirit to change us. All right? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for all you do in our lives. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for bringing us all here together today so that, Lord, we can lift our voices. We can honor you through our hearts, praising your name and giving you glory. And, Lord, we ask that you would especially be here. Make yourself known. Speak to our hearts through Brother Lanny and the Word. I pray that, Lord, when we leave, we'll be different than we were when we came in. Just love you, Lord. Surrender to you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together. You are holy. Congregation, you're going to join the choir. I'm going to start out and you're going to echo, okay? Does that make sense? It will in a minute. Let's sing. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love.
All of my days. Now together.
I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore Him. I will bow down before Him. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you.
All of my days. Together.
I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore Him. I will bow down before Him. I will sing to and worship the King. You are Lord of lords, you are King of kings, you are mighty God, Lord of everything. You're Emmanuel, you're the great I am, you're the Prince of Peace, through is the Lamb. You're the living God, you're my saving grace, you will reign forever, you are ancient of days, you are Alpha, Omega, beginning. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and Friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Amen. Let's sing, Since I Have Been Redeemed. I have a song I love to sing, Since I Have Been Redeemed. Of my Redeemer, Savior, King, Since I Have Been Redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have seated. Let's sing another hymn. I'm pressing on the upward way. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. No Satan's thoughts and we are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound. The song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher
solution.
our choir did a song a few months back called I Speak Jesus, and I wanted to bring this to our congregation. It's a very powerful song, and just ask that you just sing. Once you hear it, it'll be easy to learn. Let's just sing I Speak Jesus. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Sing out.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus.
Well, good morning, Cornerstone. And thank you so much, Neil. Good to have Neil back with us today. And I know he was blessed and it was a blessing at the revival this past week. And it's good to be back. And you know, folks, you're blessed by your worship here. It's not like that everywhere, believe it or not. But I pray that you're always not a spectator, but a participant. So thank you so much for leading us today, Neil and choir and praise team. Well, today's kind of a bittersweet day. This is my last Sunday with you, and to be honest, I'm just getting warmed up, folks. But it's bittersweet because I'm going to miss you. I've been blessed by your love for the Lord and for one another. But for your sake, I'm so pleased that your pastor is en route and will be here, and I want to encourage you to be a praying people for your pastor. His effectiveness in ministry will rise no more than your effectiveness in praying on his behalf. So do that, if you would, please. And today is the last message that I'll be sharing with you. So I thought to myself, well, what to preach in your last message here? You know, sometimes the value and the ability of a preacher to preach is most judged by his listeners. I read the story about a preacher that went to the hardware store to make a purchase, just a small purchase, some nuts and bolts. He got up to check out, and the clerk said, "That's 50 cents. And he felt, and he said, "Oh my, I have left my wallet and my change. I don't have any money with me, but I'm the preacher at the church down the street. If you'll just trust me, I'll be back and pay you later." And the clerk said, "Oh, preacher, that's okay. You know, I'll come hear you preach sometime, and we'll call it even." And the preacher, very boastfully and very proud of himself, said, "Well, I'm sorry, I don't have any 50-cent sermons." He said, "That's okay, I'll come twice." He gets in the car, heads back to church. On the way back to church, he's pulled over by a traffic cop for making a traffic violation. Traffic cop's about to write out a ticket, and the preacher said, "Oh, sir, please, officer, just write me a warning. I'm just a poor preacher." He said, "I know. I heard you preach last Sunday." Well, and I've learned that the greatest sermons are about the greatest subject. And there's no greater subject than the cross. So today, in this last message together, I'm going to be sharing with you a message entitled "The Wondrous Cross." So would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 27, and I'll begin reading in verses 47 through 51. And would you stand with me, please, as you approach that text, or it's on the screen before you, and let's read Matthew's account. "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you abandoned me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling on Elijah.' And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and offered him a drink. But the rest said, 'Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' But Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Suddenly," some translation says, "at that moment, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, and tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and they came out of the tombs after his resurrection and entered the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were terrified and said, 'This, truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray today that we might take a fresh look at the wondrous cross. And what we have read today, your word, your truth, might transform lives here today. So give us ears to hear. May the ground of our heart be fertile. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The blind hymn writer Fanny Crosby wrote one of her greatest hymns, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. Bring its scenes before me." So I pray that that might be what happens today. May the Lord bring those scenes before you. The painting that you see before you is one of my favorites by the German artist Holman Hunt. It shows Jesus working in the carpenter shop. He's rested his saw for a moment and to stretch out his arms. His mother Mary is there nearby, rummaging through a treasure chest. And in that treasure chest are some of the gifts that were brought by the wise men upon his birth. But suddenly, her gaze is drawn to a shadow on the wall, the shadow of a cross. And it was a reminder to Mary that Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die. So today we're going to look at several things to bring the scenes of the cross before you. If you want to take notes in your bulletin, first consider with me a review of the event. A review of the event. Matthew's description is rather unique amongst the gospel writers, because Matthew says, and I brought to your attention in verse 51, suddenly, other translations say, at that moment that Jesus died, some spectacular things happened physically. Matthew describes them. There were three. Spectacular things. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. There was darkness over the land for 3 hours from noon to three. And there was an earthquake and rocks were split open. Some spectacular things happened physically. So let me try to capture your imagination for just a moment. Okay, run this scene across the movie of your mind. You're a Jewish man. It's the Friday before the Sabbath. Not just any Friday, but the Good Friday of Passover. Being a good religious Jew, you make your way to the temple about midday to pray. En route, you hear talking along the streets of a Roman crucifixion taking place outside of town. That's not unusual. Roman crucifixions were common. You get to the temple to pray about noon, and suddenly everything becomes dark. This is not just a passing eclipse. It's totally dark for 3 hours. You stay there in the temple where it's safe. And then about 3 o'clock, you hear a very distinctive sound. The sound like something ripping, something tearing. With the torches and the candles in the temple, you make your way with others to try and find the source of that sound. And you come to what is called the Holy of Holies. It is the most sacred place on planet Earth. Inside that Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was, where some very special articles were. No man could go in there. You couldn't go in there. I couldn't go in there. Only the high priest could go in the Holy of Holies, and that's just once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The Holy of Holies was separated from the rest of the temple by a tall veil. And the Jewish author Josephus says, thick as a man's hand, separating you from the Holy of Holies, keeping you out of the Holy of Holies, representing God's presence. But that day, on that Good Friday at 3 p.m., that veil is being torn in two. And it probably sounded something like this. as if God is saying the separation is gone. The veil is gone. The access to my presence for every man is now available. Why? Because a lamb was slain just outside of town. You go home. On the way home, you're hearing talk in the streets about earthquakes and rocks being split open. You get home and there's your wife that has a rather ashen look on her face. Honey, what's wrong? She said, you know my brother that died last year? Yes, I was a pallbearer. I went to the graveyard to visit his tomb. It was empty. It was empty. What's going on? And you say, I don't know. It's like everything has changed. Everything has changed. When? At that moment when Jesus died. That's the review of the event. Now, let's go from there to a realization of the effects. You see, at the moment when Jesus died, there was some physical things that took place. But they pale in comparison to some spiritual things that took place. And I want to name four just real quickly and we'll be done. At that moment when Jesus died, God showed His love. God showed His love. When my children, Hannah and Isaac, were growing up, every evening, Dad, me, would put them in bed. And I'd do three things. I would make up a story, we'd sing a song, and we'd pray. Dads, don't miss that opportunity, because every night there's a window into a child's soul. So we do that, and one evening, Hannah, who's home right now, she's the worship pastor's wife at First Baptist Decatur, and she and the kids are home in Tyler. Can't wait to get back there. But once I'm putting Hannah in bed, and when we got through singing and praying and telling a story, she goes, Dad, I love you this much. And I deal open my hands, I love you this much. She goes, I love you from here to that side of the room. I said, I love you from that side of the room to that side of the room. She said, I love you from here to the moon. And I said, I love you to the moon and back. And LYMTTB we put on most of our communications. I love you to the moon and back. But I said, Hannah, Jesus loved you all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. And Paul writes that in Romans 5. Look at what he says. Paul says, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Some of you struggle. Some of you wrestle with the love of God. Don't wrestle. Nestle. There's no sin so great. There's no failure. There's nothing in your life that can outshine the love of God for you shown at the cross. And some of you may leave today unsaved, but nobody is going to leave unloved. Author Laura Hammond tells the occasion of her grandparents, who had a little acronym that her grandparents always told one another, SHMILY, S-H-M-I-L-Y. They would write those initials on post-it notes, put them on the refrigerator, stick them on somebody's steering wheel. They would write them in the condensation on the bathroom mirror so that when the condensation went away, S-H-M-I-L-Y was written there, see how much I love you. And when the grandmother died, the grandfather had a spray for the casket that said S-H-M-I-L-Y. At the cross, that's what God is saying. See how much I love you. And 1 John says that's a perfect love that casts out fear. And Ephesians says that's a perfect love that there's no height, no depth, no width, no breath that can outdistance. At that moment that Jesus died, God showed His love for you. Get into it. Wade into it. Live in it. A second thing, at that moment when Jesus died, God settled my debt. God settled my debt. Notice these words from Colossians 2. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions and having canceled out, notice this, the certificate of debt concerning the decrees against us, which were hostile to us. He's taken out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Now, grab a hold of that. Paul talks about an itemized bill of all of my sins, which are many, past, present, and future. And at that moment when Jesus died, God took that figuratively and nailed it to the cross and said, paid in full. Paid in full. And that's the word that Jesus used when He said, it is finished. It's an accounting term. It's telestai. It's not talking about God's life. You can't kill God. When Jesus said, it is finished, He's using that accounting term, paid in full. Your sin debt, the one that the devil tries to beat you over the head with all day long, paid in full. Forgiven. When? At that moment when Jesus died. Some time ago, I had an experience that I don't imagine any of you have had. It's my first and only time. I was in a small East Texas town having lunch with some businessmen at the country diner where they had one of those all-you-can-eat buffets. Monday, about noon, when suddenly in walks a bride in her fully adorned white bridal gown, the groom in his tux, a fully adorned wedding party of groomsmen and bridesmaids, and they just walked right in there in the middle of the day and got right in that buffet line with the mechanics and the farmers and the shop owners digging through the catfish and the chicken fried steak. And they had a room reserved back in the back. And then the strangest thing happened. All of the waitresses started going around picking up everybody's tab, picking up their checks. She gets to my table. I said, "Ma'am, what's going on?" She said, "Oh, the father of the groom wants to buy everyone's meal." I said, "Well, if I knew that, I'd had a steak." I said, "Can you show him to me?" She says, "It's that man right over there." I go over there and I said, "Sir, today must be a very proud day for you." He said, "Oh, my son's wedding day, and I want everyone to experience that joy." Amen. Now, I could have bought my own meal that day. I could afford it. The ticket wasn't that big. But you don't want to have to pay the debt of sin, folks. Right. It's a debt of eternity separated from God. But at that moment, God settled my debt. Amen? God showed His love. Number three, at that moment, God supplied my need. God supplied my need. Romans 8:32 says this. I love this verse. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" You see, at the cross, God supplied my greatest need. Forgiveness, atonement, redemption. How shall He not now give you all that you need? Let me use this example. Let's just suppose, I pray God it's a supposition always, but let's suppose that Luke, right here, my friend Luke, has a serious heart condition. And the doctors say, "Luke, you're going to die unless you get a heart transplant." and we search the world over, and there's only one suitable donor, just one, and it belongs to my son Isaac. Isaac alone. But of course, for Luke to live, Isaac has to die. But Isaac's willing. And miraculously, Isaac's heart is placed in Luke, and Luke lives. Some time passes. 6 months, a year, longer. Luke comes to me and says, Lanny, I've got a headache. Can you spare an aspirin? I go, Luke, my son gave his life for you? What's an aspirin compared to that? Do you need joy? Do you need peace? Do you need strength? Do you need wisdom? What are those things compared to the cross? Come to the Father. Come to the Father. Christian pathologist Alexander Metherall, Christian pathologist, wrote his summation of a long study about death on the cross. Did you know we get the word excruciating? Just an awful sounding word, isn't it? We get the word excruciating from the Latin word out of the cross. And here's what Alexander Metherall had to say about death on the cross. It began with a time of flogging. Roman floggings were terribly brutal. The soldier would use a whip of braided leather and thongs with metal and glass woven in them. And when the whip would strike the flesh, it would cause deep bruises and contusions, which would break the flesh all the way with each blow. The back would be so shredded, the spine would be exposed. The whipping would go all the way down the back. Most people didn't survive the flogging. The cross was worse. Romans used spikes 5 to 7 inches in length. They would be driven through the wrist. When the weight of the cross would come down, the arms immediately would be stretched about 6 inches. Both shoulders would be dislocated. Once a person was hanging in a vertical position, crucifixion was an agonizing death by asphyxiation. And at that moment, God showed His love. At that moment, God settled your debt. And at that moment, God supplied your need. What now can be too great? Nothing. Nothing. And the fourth one. At that moment, God sealed my victory. At that moment, God sealed my victory. Colossians 2, what a great chapter that is, goes on. Paul is talking about the cross, where our certificate of debt has been paid. Then notice this. When He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them and triumphed over them through Him. At the cross, this is great. At the cross, God literally embarrassed the devil. Made a public display. Humiliated him. Have you ever had an experience in your life? I have, a few actually. Have you ever had an experience in your life that just the thought of it makes your hair on the back of your neck stand up? That just the thought of it just causes your knees to tremble? Just the thought of it brings all of those thoughts back to mind? I had minor surgery one Friday about 30 years ago. There's no surgery minor when it happens to you, right? But it was minor surgery, and I was scheduled to preach somewhere that Sunday morning, and I thought, well, I'm just going to tough it out. I should have waited. Because in the middle of my message, you know, I was gone. Okay? And for a long time, when I'd get up to speak, I would get kind of anxious because that had happened to me, and it was so fresh. Okay. And then God just basically healed me through His Word. Okay. But there's experiences in our life that are just humiliating. But at the cross, God sealed your victory and made a public display of the devil. And 1 John says, he destroyed his works. Now, the devil hasn't been destroyed, but his works have been. His works have been. Some of you history buffs know that when the armies of Napoleon were sweeping across Europe and he was conquering the world as he knew it at that time, nobody could stand against him. But finally, the British government sent out the Duke of Wellington that met Napoleon in Belgium at a place called what? Waterloo. Waterloo. For the decisive battle. The signal flares were used to pass the message of the battle across the English Channel, where people in England were waiting to hear what had happened. And the signal flares said, Wellington defeated. And then a fog rolled in and they couldn't finish the message. And people thought, well, all's lost. Wellington's defeated. But they just couldn't see the message. The next day, the fog was cleared and the message was sent again. Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. And the cross may have seemed like a defeat, but through it, all of the powers of hell and every demon and Satan himself was broken and made a public display. At that moment, when Jesus died, God showed his love. God settled my debt. God supplied my need. And God sealed my victory. And you may ask, when did that happen? I heard the story about a man who died. This is not theologically correct, so work with me. A man died and went to heaven, and St. Peter at the Golden Gate says, well, have you done anything notable, anything noteworthy that would qualify you for heaven? Of course, we know that Jesus alone is what qualifies us, but work with me, okay? So he says, well, yes, I once saw a whole band of Hell's Angels motorcyclists. And they were assaulting this little old woman. And I walked up to the one that was the ringleader of the whole bunch, the one that had the most tattoos, the most body piercing. And I kicked his motorcycle over, and I pulled the earring out of his ear, and I slapped him in the face. And I said, you leave her alone, or you're going to deal with me. And Peter says, that's impressive. When did that happen? About 5 seconds ago. When did God show us love? When did God supply my need? When did he settle my debt? When did he seal my victory? Listen up. It just happened. It just happened. Because with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And this is how you update the cross to right now, this moment in your life, in Jacksonville, Texas, today and this week. Why? Because the cross is a reality today. Today. When he showed his love, sealed my debt, supplied my need, sealed my victory. Today. So one thing and we're done. A reason to exalt. A reason to exalt. Galatians 6:14 says, but may it never be that I boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If you receive a note from me or an email from me, I sign them all off. Galatians 6:14, that's my life verse. Why? Because what do we have to boast in, folks? I mean, we boast in position, possession, performance, which is nothing compared to the cross. Paul says in Philippians 3, that I count all rubbish in comparison to knowing Christ. That word rubbish in the Greek language is the word skupala. Isn't that a weird word? Skupala. It's one of those onomatopoetic words. I know this is lofty. It's above my head. But an onomatopoetic word in the Greek language means what it sounds like is what it is. What it sounds like is what it is. So if you've got a dog, you may spend time scooping up the skupala in the backyard. because that's what it is. And Paul says, everything, everything is rubbish compared to knowing Christ and the cross. Isaac Watts wrote that great hymn, and it closes like this. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. For all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice to His blood. And Cornerstone, in your life and in your church, in your family and in your business, may it never be we boast in anything except the cross of Christ. When General Douglas MacArthur retired from active duty and public service, he was asked to give the commencement address at West Point. His closing words to the cadets at West Point went like this. In my dreams, I hear again the crash of guns, the rattle of musketry, the strange, mournful mutter of the battlefield. But in the evening of my memory, I come back to West Point, and always there echoes and re-echoes duty, honor, country. Today marks my final roll call with you. But I want you to know, when I cross the river, my last conscious thoughts will be the core, the core, the core. I want my lasting thoughts to be the cross, the cross, the cross. In the center of London, it's said that actually the very geographic center of the city, there's the Charing Cross. It's a beautiful structure. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's at the geometric center of the city, the Charing Cross. I read the story of a little boy who was lost in the city one day, and a British policeman, a bobby, came up and said, "Son, can I take you home?" He goes, "No, sir. Just take me to the cross, and I can get home from there." It's the only way you can get home, folks. You can't get home by your good works, by your performance, by your merit. You can't get home by being a member of this great church. There's only one way, and that's through the cross. And may it be a reality in your life every day. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Neil will come lead us. Branson, come sit, stand at the front. We won't tarry. But if you'd like to come commit your life to Christ today, today's the day of salvation. If you'd like to just pray on these steps here, or with me, or Branson, or where you are, to renew the passion for the cross in your life, I'd be happy to pray with you. If you want to come join this great church, you'd be welcome. I know. If I lived in Jacksonville, this is where I'd be. So I'm going to pray. Neil's going to lead. We're going to stand for just a moment and see how the Lord leads. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that our greatest hope, that meets our greatest need, would be the greatest declaration of our lives, the cross. Thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son. Thank you that through the cross you showed your love, and you settled my debt, and you sealed my victory, and you supplied my needs. And nothing in life is too great. So I pray today, Father, if there's one, just one here today, that's heard about you, Jesus, but has never acknowledged their sin and accepted your free gift of salvation through the cross, today would be the day. And for others here, including me, may we leave with such a passion and such a boast in nothing but the cross that our lives are forever changed. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, oh, to Him I freely give, I will ever love.
Thank you very much, Brother Lanny. As Brother Lanny said, this is his last Sunday that he's going to be preaching here. I thought that you would want to thank him. I tell you, I've gone through a few times being on staff at a church without a pastor, and by far, folks, you've had some wonderful messages during this time. And Brother Lanny, thank you so much, so much. I mentioned earlier that you definitely want to take your bulletin, take it home, don't leave it on the chair. Because then you're going to be texting me wanting to know stuff. And I'm going to say, look at your bulletin. I'm playing. But there are so many things coming up. So many things. And folks, I want you to understand something. You may not be individually participating in an event, but your presence is very important. Because over the next few weeks, we're going to have a lot of folks on our campus. And your presence will speak volumes to them. Starting with this coming Saturday, we have a car show. Jeff Todd is heading that up for us. Out here on our campus from 10 to 2. I'm not saying you got to be here for 4 hours, but you come, you look, you talk to these folks. Hey, man, I love this car. You know, talk to them. We're going to be handing out some barbecue cards and stuff for the folks who participate. But your presence will be very important. You saw on the slides, trunk or treats coming, you know. And look, last week, I know I was away last Sunday. I came in Monday, and that trough out there had a lot more candy in it than the week before. And folks, we do need candy, but we also need participants. We need you to stop by the Connection Center and sign up your trunk. Okay? I started to tell Cindy to put in the bullet, we need your trunk, but that sounds kind of funny. But we do. We need folks to participate because a lot of people are going to be on this campus. And we're going to pass out a lot of candy. We're going to pass out a lot of prizes. But more important than the candy and the prizes is the presence of Cornerstone to show people who we are. So you be involved with those things. Next Sunday, Brother Danny Crawford, our pastor, he's going to be here. He's coming here towards the end of this week. I think he's maybe scouting out, trying to find some homes maybe that's available. But he's going to be at the car show, I know, and he's going to preach here next Sunday. That doesn't mean that he's on in Jacksonville, okay? He's just going to be here on next Sunday, but he's going to be preaching, so I know that you want to definitely be there. Just over the next few months, we have a state meeting that's going to be happening at our campus. We have, of course, Bethlehem is going to be happening on our campus. We got a lot of stuff coming, and it's time. It's time. You know, it's easy to lull yourself to sleep. And I know you're going, you're lulling me to sleep right now. But I just, listen, I got to say this because I, like Brother Lanny said, I visit other churches too. Folks, do not lull yourself to sleep. You get on a ministry team, you get active, you get going because Jesus is coming. And it's important. All right? All right. Hey, you want to be in choir? We're meeting today at 5:00. You come on and join us. I know that you want to be dismissed, so we're going to be dismissed. Okay, Branson, would you lead us in dismissal prayer? And all the people said, amen. Okay, Branson.
he has been vitalized, God, that he has a fresher walk, that rest that he preached about last week, God, that has come into his life so that he might be empowered to go continue to do what you called him to do. And for us, God, I pray that we could receive Danny and Jim in the manner that you would desire for us to receive them, that we wouldn't just rest and fall back and let him handle it, God, but that we would step up and that we would go and that we would reach a county for you. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.